Lord Jesus, you are perfect in all of your ways. And at times we don't get it, at times we don't see it. But this morning we just want to declare that you are perfect in all of your ways. And we as your people want to submit and we want to call out to our God, we need you. In the midst of a new year, in the midst of lots of decisions, choices, we want to seek you and your perfect ways. And so it's just on my heart just to briefly, I'm not sure where you're at with New Year's resolutions and these kind of things, but if you have to ask me, what do I desire for this year, is to be able to be led by my God. In the midst of the small details, the large details, just to be led by Him. But so often, I'm wondering, did I hear right? Is it God's leading? Is it my voice? Is it His leading? Is it my ambition? And the best way to test if it's His leading is to share it with the people around you, the body of Christ, the people that you know, the people that love Christ. And so I really want to pray for us, and maybe just as a symbol, as declaration, and for this new year, that Lord, we need you and we need one another. It's just a time of stillness to just, if you're comfortable with it, raise out your hands as a symbol of God, we need your leading, your perfect ways in the midst of a broken world. But at the same time, maybe take your other hand, if you're comfortable, and just put it on the person's shoulder next to you as a symbol of, Lord, we need you, but we need one another. In this new year, I really pray, Lord Jesus, that this would be our desire as your people. That we need you, we need your leading in the midst of your perfect ways, but we cannot do it alone and we need one another. And so I pray that this will be knitted into our hearts through this year and that we'll be able to look back and say, God led us and thank you for your support. I pray that we will get this right to love you, God, and love one another according to your word. But this morning we just declare that you are our King and that we are your people and we want to be led by you, and thank you so much for the body of Christ that can help, support, direct, discipline, so that we know that your leading will bear fruit that lasts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Baie dankie julle. Vanoggend, ons het Jacques op die woord. Dankie Jacques. Just for those visitors, Jacques is in the congregation. He's sharing every now and then. He's got a strong word on his heart that he wants to share for us. And may it bear fruit that transforms our lifestyles. Dankie, Jacques. Hoor.
Good morning, everyone. Goeiemôre. For a start, late last year, I was chatting to Christoph and I shared with him what I believe the Lord had put on my heart as a vision for our church for this year. And when I shared it with him, he said he believed that that was exactly what was on his heart. So then he asked me to share it. So that's how we are where we are today. So I believe you're here for a reason. I believe you're not here by accident. And I'm actually amazed at how full the church is, because I prayed before the service, well, this whole week while I was preparing, and I said, Lord, if this is your vision for our church, if this is what you want for us, then I want to see a full church on Sunday. And I've never seen our church this full. So you're here for a purpose. The Lord has got a word for you. He's got a word for each one of us. I believe you're here for a reason. Okay. So before I start, Albi, will you just pray for me, please, before I share this morning? Thank you. Okay, thank you, Albi. Right. In Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12, and I'm going to put the slides up a bit later because I don't want everyone reading ahead of what I'm saying. So slides will come, but I want to talk first. Anyway, in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12, we read the verse, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Okay, I think you're all well familiar with that verse. It's often preached at weddings where it refers to the husband and the wife and God in a marriage. I've also heard it preached about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But hopefully this morning's message will give you a little bit of a different perspective on that verse. And we're going to start and base our talk this morning on the verses from Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read a few verses there. And I'm going to read it for you. Matthew chapter 6 and the first six verses 2-4. Jesus speaking, it's a sermon on the mount. He says, verse 2, "When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they will receive their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Then we move on to verses 5 to 8. Verse 5, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." And then he goes on to tell us how to pray about our Father. Then we go to verses 16 to 18. He says, "When you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." And then he tells us how to fast. Now, it's an important thing to note. Jesus uses a very important word, and it's the word when. Look at it this way. If I said to you, when you sleep, when you eat, when you work, those are things you do every day. It's sort of like expected of you. It's regular things you do. So Jesus uses the word when. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. So what is that telling us? That those three spiritual disciplines should be part of our spiritual life. All three. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. Now, as in most of the times when I come and share with you, it's because I've learned lessons myself. And let me be honest with you. The praying and the giving were okay, but the fasting wasn't there. All right, it's me, and we're going to talk. So what we're going to talk on this morning and concentrate on is fasting. That's the topic for today's message. Okay, so all three disciplines should characterize our lives because they are like the three cords that make up a strong rope. They each support each other. If you have only two without another one, you're not as spiritually effective as you should be. None of us are. If we're not practicing all three disciplines. Okay. And I certainly wasn't for a long time. I had a lot of excuses, but we're going to get to that later. And I'll tell you why. And hopefully after this, you won't have any excuses either. Okay. Another way to look at this concept is, you'll remember Jesus spoke the parable of the sower sowing seed. And I'm referring to the seed that fell in good ground. What did he say? He said the seed that fell in good ground bore 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. So the way we can look at this, if I'm praying only, I will bear 30-fold, or the Lord through me. If I'm praying and giving, the Lord can... it will result in a 60%. If I'm praying, giving, and fasting, it's worth 100-fold. It's just it's a different way. In the book that I read, it was interesting to me that he said that. I'm not going to dwell much on this verse, but I want to just point this one thing out, and it's found in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. And in these verses, Ezekiel is talking to Israel. Israel is in a fallen state, as far as the Lord's concerned. And he's talking about Sodom. Now, when we think about Sodom, we mostly think of the sexual depravity that was found there. We all know about the things that were going on there. But listen to this verse, and it's very interesting. What the Lord says through Ezekiel. He says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. So, what were some of the other things that Sodom was doing that God did not, that displeased God intensely? One, he says they were proud and arrogant. Now, a proud and arrogant person does not pray. They don't feel a need to pray. They feel they can do it all themselves. So there was no prayer. He says, clearly you did not look after the poor, so there was no giving. And the third thing God says, you were overfed. That is gluttony and no fasting. Okay. So I'm not going to dwell on this. It was just an interesting aside that those were things that upset or God also made him angry about the lifestyle that was going on in Sodom. So, first slide, thank you. There you are. Okay, so yeah, just to add there, the importance of fasting. Why do we fast? Okay, I think one of the first and most important things is Jesus fasted. We say as a church that we do what Jesus did. We want to do what Jesus did. We believe in adult baptism, don't we? We don't do sprinkling. We don't baptize babies. We do adult baptism the same way Jesus was baptized as an adult. Now, another thing that Jesus did, another spiritual discipline that he did, was to fast. We know about that. So that's one reason to fast. I want to read the next few things off my notes because I don't want to miss something here. Fasting, I believe, helps us focus on the spiritual, and denying ourselves shows God and the enemy that we are really serious about something. Okay? There are times in our lives when we need to partner with God, and he requires of us to do something in the physical in order to release something in the spiritual. Okay? I think often we pray about something and say, well, I've prayed about it. I've left it in God's hands. You know, he'll look after it from here. But there are times when we need to actually do something. I think when God sees that we're serious, and one of the ways he sees we're serious is when we fast, then he answers. Then he reaches out and does amazing things. We'll get to that just now. Fasting definitely results in spiritual breakthrough in all spiritual realms. We have an influence in the unseen world by fasting. Fasting and prayer affects the heavenly battle. We will see that in scripture just now. Fasting and prayer affects the spiritual battle, not only with us, with the enemy as well. Fasting is a spiritual thing, whether you're a Christian or even a non-Christian. What am I referring to? The fastest growing religion in the world, and I checked it again yesterday, is Islam. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. The Muslims fast every year for the month of Ramadan, a full month, where they don't eat from sunrise to sunset. They don't eat, they don't drink, they take nothing, and then eat after sunset. But as a whole religion, they fast for a full month once a year. And it does things, and I'm not going into that, but other religions also fast, non-Christian religions. Is it then perhaps surprising that they're growing, that it's the fastest growing religion in the world? Because fasting affects the spiritual battle. Okay? If we want a strong relationship with God, we need to seek it. We need to seek God through fasting, and it is then something powerful is released within our lives. The discipline of fasting releases the anointing, the favor of God. It releases conviction in our lives. It releases the blessing of God in our lives and other things. Those are just a few. Okay. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." As you can see there. Now, I must say, when I was preparing this word, I never really took hunger and thirst for righteousness literally. And then I saw, well, maybe it is literal. Maybe Jesus was actually referring to a literal thing. Really hungering, really thirsting. That's fasting. When we do that, Jesus says we will be filled. I always interpreted that verse as an inner yearning, as an inner desire. But for the first time, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. Maybe that is literal. Maybe we should take that verse more literally. Okay. Fasting shows a serious commitment. God knows that there is never a convenient time to fast. And thus he honors the commitment when we do it. Okay? God knows there's never a convenient time to fast, and he honors it when we do fast. Okay, so let's look at Scripture. Let's look at a few examples in Scripture of what happened when God's people or individuals fasted. One of the first ones I can refer to is in Exodus 34, verse 28, and that is when Moses went up on Mount Sinai. The Bible says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then God gave him the Ten Commandments, and when he came down off the mountain, the Bible says his face was radiant and shining that the Israelites couldn't look on him. So what am I saying? That was a great spiritual event happened when Moses was fasting. The next one is we can find in the book of Esther, where Haman wanted to kill all the Israelites. Esther and Mordecai got to hear of his plan, that he was planning to hang Mordecai and kill the Jews. And Esther went before King Xerxes to ask him to change the plans or to come against this. But before they did, the Jews fasted, full fast, for 3 days and three nights. And we know what happened at the end of the day. God turned the situation around, and Haman was hung on his own gallows. But God changed the entire future of Israel because people fasted and prayed. Obviously, the enemy was trying to destroy Israel because they were God's people, etc. In 1 Samuel 1 verse 7, we read about Hannah, who was childless for many years, and she fasted and prayed before God, and God heard her prayer and later gave her a son, who was Samuel, who was the greatest prophet that Israel had ever had. Samuel is regularly referred to as the greatest prophet Israel ever had. He was the result of prayer and fasting. Daniel fasted a number of times. We read in the book of Daniel. God gave Daniel wisdom. He gave him interpretation of dreams. He blessed him in many ways in the king's court. We read about Daniel fasting in Daniel's chapter 1, chapter 9, and chapter 10. And I want to highlight an important principle, which I'm going to read for you. It is in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Here we go. So Daniel was fasting for Israel, who was in captivity in Babylon. And Daniel was praying and fasting. Then he continued. This is the angel talking to Daniel. He says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I came in response to them. But the prince of Persia resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." The king of Persia represents the devil. So what happened? Daniel was fasting and praying, and the word says, God says, "I heard you on the first day." God heard Daniel's prayer was right and righteous and in line with God's will, and he answered him on the first day. But what happened? In the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm where we don't know what's going on, we can't see, there was a spiritual battle that lasted 21 days, 3 weeks, where the forces of evil and the forces of righteousness were fighting each other. Of course, eventually, the Lord won the battle and granted Daniel his request. But what is the point here? The point is that for 21 days, Daniel had to fast before there was an outcome. It took a while. It wasn't just, "Lord, do this," and walked away. It took commitment. It took dedication. It took perseverance. Hy moes deurdruk. Okay? That's the point, and that is one of the things that fasting teaches us. The prophetess Anna was a widow of 84, who served God with fasting and prayer day and night, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 37. And the Lord blessed her that she was able to see the Messiah, see Jesus as a baby. And then, of course, Jesus himself fasted for 40 days and 40 nights to prepare him for his ministry, which we read in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Because Jesus knew that certain supernatural things can only be released by fasting. Certain supernatural things can only happen when they are released by fasting and prayer. Great things happen when God's people fast and pray and practice the self-discipline of fasting. What are some of the results of fasting? It gives us spiritual authority. It is interesting to note that there is no record in the Bible that Jesus cast out any demons or performed any healing prior to him fasting. Okay. All the miracles and the demons he cast out in the Bible happened after his fasting. So his fasting was a preparation for spiritual battle, which took place later in his ministry. Another interesting thing to note in Matthew 7, okay, let's start in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus sent out the disciples. Remember, he sent them out and he said, go into the surrounding towns and villages and heal people and cast out demons, which they did. They came back and told Jesus that had happened. It's in Matthew chapter 10. Now, a few chapters later, we have the incident of the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. And Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And while he was up on the mountain, a man came to his disciples, the other nine who were not with him, with his demon-possessed son. And he asked them to cast the demon out of his son, and they couldn't do it. Now, it's interesting because a few chapters earlier, they had done it. God had given them the spiritual authority, and they had done it. They had performed healings. They had cast out demons, but this time, they couldn't do it. Then Jesus came down from the mountain, and the man came to Jesus and asked him to cast out the demon, and Jesus did. Later, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, why could we not do it? They'd done it previously. They couldn't understand. How come it happened a little while back, but it didn't happen this time? Jesus answered them and said, you have too little faith. And then he spoke about faith as a if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and so on. So it had to do with faith. And the other interesting thing Jesus said was, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus had fasted. That's why he had the spiritual authority to throw the demon out. The disciples up to that stage had not fasted. They did later. Okay. So the point I'm making is, again, and I've said it a number of times, prayer and fasting give us spiritual authority. God-given spiritual authority. So let's just move on a little bit. What are some of the reasons that we should fast? Why should we fast? When should we fast? What should we fast for? Okay. One of the reasons that I've got listed is for spiritual breakthrough and sharpening. There are times I read this book. A lot of what I'm speaking came from what I've read in this book about fasting by Jensel Franklin. We all go through periods sometimes when we feel spiritually dull. We feel like we're just not getting anything when we read the Bible. It feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You just don't feel close to God. That's an excellent time to start fasting and asking God to reveal things to you for spiritual sharpening and sensitivity. Other reasons for fasting is you can go on a fast and pray, ask God for healing, deliverance from all sorts of things. Deliverance from addictions. It can be drug addiction, alcohol, nicotine, gambling, even shopping, believe it or not. Shopping, you can get addicted to shopping. Interesting, we had a lady, someone spoke to Corn a little while ago. She said to her, have you seen, what's the new shop in Sears? Lucky Store or something. Appy store, the Appy store. Don't know if any of you have been to the Appy store. She said, she's been to the Appy store. She said to Corin, I can't stop going. I've been going every day since it opened. She said, I now have to discipline myself to only go once a week. You're laughing, but it's true. There's scientific research being done about that. When you go shopping and you buy something you want, your brain releases dopamine and you actually get addicted to that. That's what you actually get addicted to. So you can get addicted to shopping. So I mentioned gambling. There's other things that we get addicted to. Sometimes gaming, computer gaming, and this thing. We'll talk a little bit more about that just now. Guidance in a situation. Guidance. Should I take a job? Shouldn't I take a job? Should I marry this person? Shouldn't I marry this person? Financial issues. There's testimonies in this book of Christians who were in a business. They believed God had put them there. The business was about to close. It was financially finished. They went on praying and fasting for the business, and the Lord turned the whole business around. And very importantly, we also fast for someone's salvation or for revival. We'll talk about a little bit more about that just now. Okay, so those are some of the reasons to go on a fast and things we should fast for. One doesn't have to go on a fast for one specific thing. You can go on fast for a number of things, okay? For guidance, for deliverance. But good advice that he gives in the book is when you fast, always also fast for someone who is unsaved and doesn't know the Lord, to expand the kingdom. So when we fast, say, Lord, I'm fasting for guidance, I'm fasting for healing, fasting for deliverance, but I'm also fasting for that relative or that friend who doesn't know you. When you fast, always also pray and fast for someone who doesn't know the Lord, so that the kingdom can be expanded and more can come to know Jesus. Okay, to be practical, I want to quickly talk about a number of types of fasting. Because one of the reasons why it was absent in my life for such a long time is because I had very good excuses to not do it. But after I'd gone through this list, I saw there was actually not much reason or excuse not to fast, one way or another. So the first thing I'd like to say is in the Bible, fasting always refers to food. Okay? Fasting always refers to food. So don't say, oh, I'm going to fast and I'll fast my cell phone. Or I'll fast TV. That is not biblical. The Bible never talks about, the Bible only talks about fasting food. So then I want to just ask the question, if you want to fast TV or fast your phone, why are you spending so much time on it in the first place? You shouldn't be spending so much time on it. And I think the thing that really shook me also when I thought about this is one day we will all be called to account, to give an account for what we've done, which includes how we've spent our time. And I think one can be really embarrassed if one has to stand and God says, how did you spend your time? Oh, I spent 2 hours every day on my phone. God says, couldn't you have spent 2 hours a day praying or reading the word? Balance it that way. There are far better ways to spend your time than on TikTok or any of these other things. Okay, I know I'm a bit old-fashioned, but it really ticks me off when I see kids on the phone all the time. But anyway. So, fasting, phone or TV is not on. That's not part of it. There are a number of ways we can fast. There are shorter fasts one can do for 1, 2, or 3 days. Longer fasts one can do for 1, 2, or 3 weeks. And then we read about really long fasts of 40 days. I do want to add, I'm not a doctor, but before you decide to go on any fast, if you're on any medication or you've got a medical condition, it's important to consult a doctor before doing that. And it's important to drink a lot of fluids when you are fasting. Okay, and then there's a full fast of no food or no water. That's very extreme. That I think one must be very sure that the Lord is guiding you to do that. And if you do feel that way, go and see a doctor, because that is very extreme. Normally, a fast that works quite well is to fast food only, which is what he also recommends in his book. Food only, but during that time you can drink obviously water and fruit juice, and he recommends something like clear soups, not chunky soups with a lot of, you know, vegetables and meat and stuff in. Clear soups to carry you through your fast. Let me just finish this first. Then, of course, there's the Daniel fast, where Daniel, for quite a long period, ate certain foods only, vegetables only. He cut out sweets. It said he cut out sweet products and meat he cut out of his diet. Then one can do day-only fasts from sunrise to sunset, for example. The Muslims do that at Ramadan. Or you can even go as far as fasting a single meal. That's how it actually, when I started reading this book and the Lord started convicting me, I started with that. I travel quite a bit for my work, and I often have to catch a 6 o'clock flight out of Cape Town. So what I do is I go sleep over at the airport hotel. And I normally used to go to the hotel for dinner. And the Lord said, just start by fasting a meal. So when I was at the hotel, I didn't go and eat. And spent that time rather in Bible study and reading and just praying and stuff like that. And the Lord started doing things in my life. For those of you who are here, a while ago, when it was testimony time, I walked up and I said that my wife came to me the other day, a little while ago, out of the blue, and said, "Gee, you've changed a lot," just out of the blue. And I thank the Lord for that. But it started there. I know, because I walked the road. I know. It started with fasting just that single meal. It happened a number of times, because I do a number of trips. But it started with that dedication of just fasting a meal. God works and changes our lives when we fast. Another interesting thing I'd like to share with you that came out in this book is he said someone felt convicted that they wanted to do a 40-day fast, because Jesus did a 40-day fast, and we read about it in the Bible. But because of work and everything else, they just couldn't see how they can do a 40-day fast. And then the Lord showed them something which I found very interesting. I'll share with you. What they did was they started in January when they were still on leave and did a 7-day fast. In January, they did a 7-day fast. And then every month of the year after that, they did a 3-day fast, which you can do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is doable. So 3 times 11 is 33 plus 7 is 40. So in a year, it added up to a 40-day fast. I'm just telling you about it. If it's something you feel the Lord wants you to do, it's a practical way in which you could, over a year, do a 40-day fast if you feel the Lord is leading you that way. Okay. So those are a number of different ways one can fast. One can fast over a weekend. One of the big excuses I always had in my life why I couldn't fast is, how am I going to fast? I'm going to feel all weak and pathetic at work, and my employer expects me to work properly and give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. I can't go to work with feeling all, you know, you do feel a bit bad sometimes because your blood sugar levels drop. So I had every excuse under the sun not to fast. But if you fast this way, like I've said, drinking fruit juice, maybe a cup of soup once a day, and only water, you can actually do it. It's bearable. You can do it. It's not that bad. Okay. Another excuse that I had why I didn't fast was I said, what if I'm at work and it's someone's birthday? You know, at work, everyone brings cake to work on their birthday. Sometimes I'm at work and a supplier comes to see us and they say, let's go out for lunch. Now I'm in the middle of a fast. What do I do? So I took the easy way out. I took the chicken's way out. I said, the easiest is just don't fast at all. Okay, that was a poor excuse, but I'm being honest with you. And so that's why I didn't for a long time until the Lord showed me this and convicted me of it. So what if that happens to you? Let's be practical. I want to give John the credit for what I'm going to say to you next because he shared it with us at our home cell. So thanks, John. If you're in such a situation and you're busy with a fast and someone asks you to a business lunch or whatever, you can do one of three things as the Lord guides you. It's up to you. It's what the Lord tells you to do. Obviously, you can decline it. The other thing you can do is if you feel you should go and order a salad, like a Daniel fast. So yes, you're not fast, you know, but you're still fasting. You go and have the business lunch, but order a salad, which is equivalent to, doing a Daniel fast. And then I think what John said and opened my eyes was, John shared with us, he said, if that happens to you and you feel that you should go and eat something and then continue your fast afterwards. See, in my mind, I was too legalistic about it. And that's what we mustn't do. I was too legalistic. So if I'm fasting, then I definitely can't eat anything. And when John said that, the Lord opened my eyes and I could see, you know, if that's happened and it's an awkward and it's a difficult situation, eat something. The Lord understands, he's not legalistic about it, and then carry on your fast afterwards. Okay? So hopefully those are some practical things that can help you with fasting. Different types of fasting, what to do in difficult situations. Okay, so now something else, which I'd never seen before, and the Lord showed me, and we're going to find this verse in Luke chapter 11. It came to me this morning, so I don't think it's on the notes. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus says, let me start it a little bit further from earlier from verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Here's the important part. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, what do I want to say? We serve a good God. God will not ask us to do something or require something from us that's bad for us. He won't do it because it's not in his character. So, can fasting be bad for us? No. So, what I did was, as some of you know, my wife is in the medical profession. I asked her to help me when I was preparing for this, and I said, listen, I'm not a medical person. Please go and check up for me. Are there medical benefits to fasting? Okay, and she went away. Came back, like, bouncing up and down, super excited. Let's go to the next slide. There we go. There's more and more research that's happening that it is actually extremely beneficial for us to fast. And it comes back to what I was saying to the character of God. He wouldn't ask us to fast if it were bad for us. It's actually good for us. So I'm not going to run through them all or in any great detail, but some of the ones obviously helps with cholesterol, helps with diabetes problems. Cellular repair is very interesting. When you fast and you take a break from food, your body actually starts repairing damaged cells. This is latest technology or research that's coming out now that they're only finding out now. Another very important thing that happens when you fast is that there's an increase in good gut bacteria and a decrease in bad gut bacteria. There's a whole lot of bacteria in our stomachs, as you know, which help with the digestion of food. That's why sometimes you take probiotics, and some of the yogurt manufacturers, dairies tell you to eat it because of the probiotics. You need that good bacteria in your stomach. But with some of the stuff we eat, it destroys the good bacteria, etc., etc. When you fast, when you give your stomach a break, there is a correction of the bacteria within your stomach. And then they found further, more importantly, is when this correction takes place and you've got more of the good bacteria in your stomach, your brain function improves. Very interesting. Your mood improves. What's happening in your stomach actually affects your personality, believe it or not. So when we go on fasts, it actually is good for us. It's good for our brain. It's good for our stomach. It's good for our mood. It affects all of these things. Another thing that happens when you fast is that certain toxins and stuff get rejected out of your body, which, if left there, can go on to form cancer. So my wife came back to me very excited about this, said we should be fasting a lot more. So I'm looking forward to a much lower grocery bill going forward. I'll keep you up to date about that. Okay. So I'm nearly through. So fasting is not only extremely powerful in the spiritual, it gives God hears and answers our prayer when we pray and fast, because he sees that we are serious about it and it's important. We're not glibly just asking him for something. And it is actually physically good for us as well. Okay. Important, fasting and prayer always go together. Of course, we must pray and fast. Don't just go and fast for the sake of fasting. Okay, I fasted. Fasting and prayer always go together. And like I said, when you're fasting, fast for something specific. And also always include fasting or praying for someone who doesn't know the Lord. Okay, so to end off, this is what I shared with Christoph, and this is what he was excited about. My vision that I believe the Lord has given us for this church for this year is to really become a fasting church, to make it, Christoph said, it moet deel van ons ritme wees. It's got to be a rhythm. It's got to be a spiritual rhythm in our lives. Now, why I wanted to bring this word in January is because in his book, he talks a lot about starting the year with a fast. And I told Christoph that, and I thought it's important. So what this guy and his church do, and is the way that church is expanding is phenomenal, is they start the year with a fast. It's like dedicating your year to the Lord. It's putting him first. Jesus said, seek him first. So when we fast, if we go on a fast at the beginning of the year, we dedicate the year to the Lord. We're putting him first in this year by getting serious with him right in the beginning of the year. It's just like starting a morning with Bible reading and prayer, Bible study and prayer. You all know, you've all been there. Some days the alarm doesn't go off and you wake up and you don't have your quiet time, and that day is just dear makar. Okay? You all know that. But when you've started your day with Bible reading and prayer and committed your day to the Lord, it's just things are just in the right place. It's the same with fasting. So I believe that if fasting becomes a regular rhythm in our church, whether it's as individual, corporate, as a church, as a cell group, whatever it is, I believe we're going to see God moving this year like we never have before if we take this seriously. I believe that we will see healing, guidance, deliverance, opportunities opening, financial blessing, revival, and the lost coming to Christ, among other things, if we take this seriously. So I believe that we should start the year, and start the year for your family, for yourself, for our church, with a fast. It sets the course for the rest of the year, just like praying in the morning. Blessings will come your way and your family's way because you put God first with a fast. It releases the principle of Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Sometimes, you know, we've been praying for something and we just haven't been receiving breakthrough, and we wonder, you know, why, I've been praying for the situation, nothing's happening, praying for the situation. So I don't know, I just want to put it out there. Have you fasted and prayed for it? Sometimes the fast, as in Daniel's case, is going to take a while. You know, it doesn't mean fasting for a day is necessarily going to give the breakthrough or the answers that you're looking for. Sometimes it's going to take perseverance. But I believe that we can see God really moving when we pray and fast together. And I'd like to encourage one something among us here, and I'm sure Christoph won't have a problem with it, is we often have a time of testimonies in the morning, which is good. Come and share with us. If you've been fasting and praying for something, tell us, I was fasting and praying for this or that, and God answered. Why? Because it encourages, we encourage each other. When I see how God has answered prayer and fasting in this person's life and that person's life and that person's life, it's going to encourage me to do the same. So I want to ask and ask you, when you, if there's something that God has done in your life as a result of specifically prayer and fasting for something, tell it to us to encourage us all that we get into the habit of doing this. Okay. So, next slide. Oh, there it is. Sorry, we're there. So that is the vision that I believe God has laid on my heart or wanted me to share with you, that we as a church get into a rhythm or a habit of fasting and praying. I'm excited this morning. I'm excited to see how full the church is. I'm excited to see before the service, we have prayer meeting before the service, there were the most people in that prayer meeting this morning than I've seen before. God is doing something. God's going to do something. We need to get on the wagon, get on the car, get in with a program. If we don't get in, we're going to get left behind. And I believe that fasting and prayer is critical to this. Okay. So, is there another slide after that? There we go. So, yeah. It's actually, fasting is actually a no-brainer. If one looks at the health benefits, what God can do, the way God moves, it should be a basic discipline in our Christian faith. There are obviously physical health benefits that we spoke about, and it definitely causes or results in spiritual breakthrough. There's no doubt about that. All right. Okay, so that is what the Lord laid on my heart, and I'd like to just close in prayer before we break up. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you want to see growth in our lives as your children, spiritual growth. And you open doors, open revelation to us as to how we can do that. And Lord, I believe that this revelation of fasting and praying more regularly, making it a more serious discipline in our lives, is really a key thing to what you want to do in our church in this coming year. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would take this seriously, would commit ourselves to praying and fasting as you lead, when you lead, for different periods of time, at different times, but that it would become a spiritual discipline, a habit, something we do often, and we look forward to what you're going to do in our own lives and in this church when we start obeying you and doing what you want us to do. I pray your blessing on everyone who's here this morning, for this coming week, in Jesus' name. Amen.